Let's just go live streams with Sammy straight away, because man put his foot through his ceiling to set up a live stream.
I've got a loft, so I thought rather than me go studio every day and see a load of people there, I thought I'll bring the stuff home and put in a loft. But it's only half boarded. It was pretty much there, but obviously some of the boards were a bit, well, not great. And then suddenly I was a bit lower than where I started and my leg was through the ceiling. And there's still a big hole in the ceiling, actually. But yeah, I need to get obviously no one wants to do it now because you can't even get someone to do plastering or anything like that. But yeah, I don't really fancy doing it myself.
Did you manage to do a live stream now?
My internet's really bad.
So not only you put a foot through your ceiling, you got dial-up.
I've got there. I'll tell you the saving grace though, I might be able to run the Ethernet cable through the hole in the ceiling. So every cloud and all that. But yeah, it could be all right. There's some positive to take from this.
That's the pressure of trying to get a banging live stream now, isn't it?
I feel like I should have done it, but.
Yeah, but that setup looked good. It looks like it's going to look good. Like some of the streams I'm seeing online.
Mate, I spent my Friday night ironing a green screen, which is a big difference to my normal Friday nights before this. But yeah, it's looking all right. It's getting there.
I kind of feel like unless you do go that extra mile right now, though, like it's difficult to get more than 10 viewers, to be honest. There's a million. Since it started, everyone ran to it and was like, right, live stream. And I was going to run to do one quickly as well, week one, but I'm kind of glad that I didn't go too soon because there's some terrible ones. I'm seeing people on their ironing board in their mum and dad's front room with like the old sofa in the background, and it's just like, it's tough. And I'm talking big artists as well. You're looking at the viewers and there's 10 viewers.
Do you know what though,
That's your only worry to do it, is that how many viewers?
I'll be real with you, yeah. I know that's terrible for me to say, but the perception of everything that I put out and then me doing this whole big post a few days to like before it, live stream, don't forget, catch me 7 p.m. and then it's like, 8 viewers.
Same time, it's about capturing the right time, because it's like, you've got to imagine it's Instagram. It's not like it's YouTube where you can put it on your TV. It's not like it's the other apps you can just put somewhere else. Like, you go on Instagram the same way you go on WhatsApp and these other apps. So your time on watching a live stream isn't going to be for hours on Instagram.
No. I agree.
Obviously, with some of the followers I've got, I'd look at the end number. Like, I can do it for an hour, 2 hours, and the end number is like 2,000-3,000 people have checked in. They may have come in for like 10 seconds or something, but they were there.
Yeah. I feel like it's not just a live stream issue. It's more in my head, really. With anything I do, I feel like if it doesn't bang, I'm like, oh man, I need to get the next one to make sure it pops, whether it's a post, whatever. That's definitely how my mind works. But I also feel like there's just too many, literally. Like, the whole thing is saturated. So unless you go the extra mile that Sammy was planning on doing, getting a big studio lighting in there, having a real setup, making it look professional, I just think it's hard to engage because I could just be watching anyone.
On the flip side of that, I think what Charles is doing is good because everyone's doing the live streaming, but if you record a mix, then that's something that was already done before, but everyone, like, you've got that mix there. Do you know what I mean? So I've not watched live streaming. Like, I've seen a couple. I've seen a couple, but I've watched it on replay, not live. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
But I think if you're doing, like, with this disturbing quarantine thing, I think that's sick because you've got that record, like, it's recorded, like, it's part of this history. Do you know what I mean? So that series of mix is part of the quarantine, the COVID, whatever. And I think that's better than doing live streams, all day long. And all, like you said, bro, all the live streams I've seen have been shit, bruv. But then, having said that, what did I watch? I think it was a Rinse FM thing with Wiley and Slimzy. Slimzy still can't mix. But anyway, it was sick, because they done it like a pirate thing. So it was in a kitchen and they had
It was a live stream.
No, I don't think it, I don't know. I don't know. I just saw it on YouTube the other day. I don't know if it was a live stream, but the point is, they made that pirate look. Do you know what I mean? They've done that on purpose.
Yeah, yeah. So I think, authentic.
Yeah, going down that route is good, but these guys obviously ain't doing that.
It kind of depends on the artist and the music. It also depends on the time of day, what mood I'm in. I mean, I was watching Martinez Brothers last night. These guys are huge. They're sat in some penthouse looking kind of flat, 2 meters apart, but it was dead, to be honest with you.
Like, but even that setting's dead to me. If I tune into that, I'm not really impressed. Like, I want to hear you mix it. I don't care where you are.
Yeah,
you
but then that's also the other thing is, like, the ones, there's some that have caught me and engaged me. I'm not going to lie, the only ones that have is people that are using mics.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way I'm going to listen to, say, Martinez Brothers for 20 minutes or so, because they're just in their own zone. You're not in the vibe. Like, to listen to house music like that, me personally, I need to feel it.
See, like, you know what though, Mitch? the thing with that, yeah, is for me, I'd rather watch a house DJ mix with no mic, because I feel like house DJs are better technically than any other genre. Maybe drum and bass DJs as well, any specialist DJs. But what I'm saying is, like, you can have a mic and do R&B. I'm not engaging. Like,
it depends what you're trying to get out of it. Like, the other day, we was here having a drink and everything. We put a live stream on. It was Marvin Humes for like 2 hours on Instagram. And we partied to it. Like, him and Michelle were on the mic, whatever. And it felt like we was at a party.
It felt like an actual house party, don't it?
Yeah. So it depends what you're getting from it. Like, Manny Norte does a sick one. He's getting thousands of people. Like, we have to mention GT, because that guy is just killing it with his live stream right now.
Seems organic with him as well. Like, he just goes on and just does a few hours on the mic talking to people. Doesn't seem to be planned.
What's his full name? What's his actual name?
Continental GT.
I know about this guy.
From
still.
Birmingham.
Yeah.
I mean, I've watched his one since the very beginning when he started, and he went from probably 50, 75 peak at one time to now. Last night I watched it, and he's up to 1,000 plus. This is in 3 weeks.
But then that goes back to your point of saying, like, you wouldn't do it because of the numbers. It's something that needs to grow. Like, it's not something that's just going to be there straight away. Like, you've got to think, if you're DJing in the club as a new DJ, you're not just going to have people that are going to come for you straight away. And
yeah, of course.
We can't go to clubs. So this has now become the new clubs, or has it not?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think this is going to continue after?
I
think a few people have seen the light. Whether it's in the form of a live stream, or whether they start doing like a radio thing for Spotify and SoundCloud, or whether it be YouTube, I think people will carry on, definitely. Someone like GT, I think, would be foolish to stop.
Someone like GT, I can't wait to get back booking people, because he's going to be the first DJ I book, boy.
Yeah.
Some people have been doing this for a long time as well before this. And those, you can see that this is completely new to me. I've never done a live stream, really. I've never really looked at doing this before now, just from just being too busy. But there's some people who have put the time and effort into this for years. And even with him, he was doing live streams a bit before this, but now he's taking it to another level. So it's like he's got the time to go and do it and really nail it.
I just love it. Every week he's got a new gadget. I think yesterday he added a smoke machine to his.
That's right. Yeah.
When he first started, he didn't have no screen behind him. Now he's got his name behind him. Disco lights.
Yeah.
He does the whole spraying. It's killing him, man. And that's what people want. Like,
confetti. Yeah. Do you know what? You know what it is as well. Like, the two things I've noticed, three things actually. You don't bother with too much new music. And that's one thing. In this moment, I said this to Sammy a few weeks ago, actually, just in general, where it's all doom and gloom, and obviously we're in a global pandemic, people ain't really got the time to hear an hour's worth of new music. They don't want to be educated. They want something to make them feel good, stimulate the good feeling in their brain. So in order to do that, it's reminiscing. And a lot of that music in that era is kind of garage, UK funky, that kind of vibe. Yeah. So that's obviously what's been, for me, they're the streams that I've been watching. He don't play tunes for longer than about.
Because of that, when it comes back to going to the clubs, do you think it's going to go back to playing a lot more old school music than playing the newer stuff.
Definitely. Definitely, because when it comes back, this is like a revolution. It's like a you're rejoicing sort of freedom again. And I don't see the newest tune from, you know, from such and such going down better than...
But thingy though, you know, what's that geezer's name? Swamja.
Yeah.
His tune's gonna pop up, bruv. Like, come on.
That's a different side of it. That's a different side of it, yeah. He's
that
another
is
one.
Next level,
I think I saw Austin from Apple say that he's gone up by like 650,000 fans. Like,
it's madness.
Unbelievable, man. So, yeah,
but then this is where my head is like, someone like GT and he's like, me personally, if I'm doing a live stream, I'm not playing new music, I'm playing old music. But someone like someone, Jesse's not a DJ, but that would be the right platform to showcase new music.
Mm. Yeah,
exactly.
But he has got the turntable as well, isn't it? And,
he has his guy with him playing music in between. But that's the time, I think, that's when new music can really come through. But as a DJ on a live stream, you can't be playing new music. Because that's the same thing. Your people are going to just drop off. The moment they hear a tune they don't like, especially...
Well, no.
I've noticed, but there's 10 live streams at once on my Instagram, all DJs. If I don't feel a tune that I'm liking, I'm flapping to the next one.
Yeah.
Then it's not even a tune that you don't like, it's a tune you don't know, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, don't know, or it's just not part of the vibe, especially if it's a house party type vibe that you want. Like, it's not easy. It's just not easy to live stream, bro.
The last thing on the GT thing, you see where I really think he's won, and someone like myself, who my attention span is small, you lot know me well, like, I'm onto the next thing all the time. But what is amazing on there is like the community of people that are actually talking.
Yeah.
Where he has come from, where we've all come from, being a local kind of celebrity sort of DJ, you're getting people from Manchester that have all been to venues that he's played at, Birmingham, London, and we've all been to Marbella, we've all been on Anchored Cruise, so we're all connecting, and it becomes a bit of a link up at the same time. It's almost like a old school MSN, but there's a guy DJing as well. So it is about him, the music he's playing, the rate of tunes he gets through, everything that he's got visually. But I also go on there because it's like I can catch up with some guy I've not seen since when I went Liberty maybe 2 years ago. That kind of vibe, you know? So
yeah, could you
I go on and I'm like, yeah, go on.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you can't even talk to your neighbour over the fence, like, do you know what I mean? So...
he's definitely cracked it, man.
No, it's sick. And like we was talking the other day, George, like, this is a guy from Birmingham, brother, and he's playing some garage tunes that I've not heard since being in a bedroom with my brother like 15 years ago, bro.
Like, straight. I think even I watched Super D's one last night as well. He was on with Pioneer, Cold Steps, all them guys. And I know for a fact there's people that don't go out to anything other than UK rap or whatever you want to call it. Just all vibes in to this UK funky sound that was out like 10 years ago now. It's crazy. It just makes people reconnect with stuff they forgot about. It's great to see, man, to be honest with you. Do you know what? It really reminds me of why pirate radio was so big. Because is it any different? It's not, is it? Bigging people up, people was texting in, you'd shout them out. That's what made you connect for 2 hours when you was listening to pirate radio.
I want fire emojis for the reload and that.
Yeah. All that stuff.
But then someone, Sammy, needs to just create some type of like pirate stream type thing, bro. Like one link, get on it, done. And that's a pirate station.
Just imagine. Go. I think I thought about this too much trying to set it up. I should have just gone with it to start with rather than think about it for the last week and look into a million different ways of doing it and worry too much about audio quality and sound quality and all that sort of stuff. Like trying to get lighting right and all that, it would have been better just to go with it and then sort of perfect it as you go along rather than put too much effort into the first one and put so much pressure on the first one, which is where I'm at now.
Yeah, but then look at this though. This is our first one and there's no pressure. It's just a pilot. Do you know what I mean? We've just come into it. Like, that's what I think.
Yeah, it just seems more organic and just run with it. See how it goes rather than put too much effort into it and overthink it.
I think that comes from, though, when you're looking at Defected and they've got the big, clean 4K.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
James Hype, Do you know what I mean? It's competitive out there, so you kind of want to be like-minded. But I can guarantee you that some of the more lower end organic streams are probably connected more.
That's what I was going to say, because it's rough. Do you know what I mean? No one likes perfection too much. Like, even down to like, obviously, like, you know, like with mixing, yeah, when it was vinyls, like if a DJ was mixing and he's like boom, 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 and then it goes out a little bit and you can hear him bending the tune, like, do you know what I mean? To me, that's a better mix than the person who's just clean all the way through, like, do you know what I mean? I like that. I like to hear that, man. I like to hear.
Yeah.
I like to hear how this person's fixed it. Do you know what I mean? Fixed that. Yeah. It's the imperfections. Like, even down to production. Like, when I was doing, like, the dubstep days, yeah? Like, dubstep is quite rough, like, do you know what I mean? But then certain guys came out with production where it was just so clean, so scientific, it lost its soul. Do you know what I mean?
I
couldn't listen to it. I felt like I was at the dentist. Do you know what I mean? It just weren't the same. Like, and that's why I think, like, a bit roughness is good. Even this stream, this is sick, bruv. Like, these four fucking things on the screen, like, I think this is dope, bro. Like, better than a studio, man.
What you're saying goes back to that tweet I put in of Craze. What he said about, I'll just read it. He says, those club DJs that were claiming skills don't matter anymore are looking dumb. Your streams are just looking boring. Being a jukebox now don't matter, does it? And it's like, that is reality. Like, you can't. Them DJs in the club that would just play for the crowd, I've not seen none of them on their live streams, bro.
Yeah.
But do you know what? This is that, bro. Like, obviously, I'll be honest with you guys, yeah? I've got to a point where I'm bored of DJing, like, straight up. And I don't know. I think I've got more bored of DJing since I've been playing more like R&B and stuff, like, and it's just, I just feel like, I don't know, man, I just feel like when I'm in the clubs and shit, it's just not like I'm doing what the next guy can do, like, and he's doing what I can do. There's nothing new. I'll tell you the person though who I rate, like, is Mocky. Like, the way he mixes up in the club to me is like how the specialist DJ mixes up. Do you know what I mean? And I rate him for that.
What is it about it? Selection or actual?
No, it's selection, but technical, more than anything else. Technical, bro. Do you know what I mean? But I just, I've lost my mojo, man. Like, that's why, like, nah, bro. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
man.
But you even saying that, especially like me being in Dubai now and DJing, is like, when it comes to doing the rota for the DJs and stuff, I'll put myself on a warm up before I do any main set, because I just like, the main sets to me sound the same everywhere you go. Warm-up is more the music I like.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. And maybe it's the type of music, because if it was a garage main set or it was a housey type main set, I'd probably enjoy doing that more than playing the hip-hop and R&B.
Yeah.
Is it not because dance music, and I say dance, it's quite wide, but house and garage in particular for us, can you be more creative with it, because I feel like every DJ can tell its own story. See, with R&B and hip hop, if you're playing in a club, whether it's mainstream, whether it's in the West End, whatever, there is, let's be honest, there's a commitment to playing 25 songs you've got to play, right? Because you've got to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that is what jars me, bro. Like, that is what jars me, man. I remember last year, I played up here in Newcastle for the first time. And, like, the guy was like, oh, like, it was so nice to meet you. You're such a nice guy, whatever. And I thought to myself, like, sweet. Like, but I'll be honest with you, bro. Like, in my head, I'm thinking to myself, I'm no better than you, bruv. Like, you're no better. Like, I'm coming to play R&B, bro. You've been playing R&B before me, and the next DJ's going to play R&B after me. We're all the same.
You felt like a jukebox.
Yeah, like,
it boils down to something like record pools and all that, though, like the sort of like DJ City stuff and things like that, where it's like,
there's a top
20 and everyone's playing that.
It is that, but then it's like, the DJs, like, especially in Dubai now, I'm not in a rush to book anyone, because I don't want to insult anyone to come and play in Dubai, because the champagne shows, you have to be there from the start to know what someone else has played. You can't just come, if you end up playing the last hour, you can't go and play the same songs again, all of that. And it's like, everyone is on DJ City. Everyone is downloading the top 10 tunes. and everything sounds the same. Like there's no difference, and all of these younger DJs that are coming through, they're not necessarily technically better, but they just know what to play in the club. Mm. But how does that make you different to what anyone else is playing? Like, people always holler at me, oh, can I do Dubai? Can you do Dubai? I can easily do Dubai, but why do I need to get other people to come to Dubai when the four of us that play in Dubai can play everything that everyone else is playing?
Yeah.
You're not going to come with anything better or different than what's already there.
Yeah.
But how does someone come better, though? That's what needs to happen.
Saying that, though, even if you come better, do you think the people want to hear that? Like,
yeah, that's what I was just going
to
say.
Technically, he's the sickest DJ ever. Does that environment lend itself to that?
Pointless. And then the guy's going to leave the gig and be like, oh, my God, man, that was so shit. Oh, I might give up. Like, do you know what I mean? We've all been there. We feel like we've had a shit set and you just beat yourself up. But really, that was the sickest set that club could have ever had. But no one in that club appreciated it. Like, it's pointless, bro. And another thing, when I was in Dubai, people used to moan about playing certain tunes, Like, who was that guy again, Charlesy? Who was that guy? Oh, Danny Neville. He was the biggest whinger on road, If you play the tune and he planned to play it,
I'm like, are you going to say here?
He's going to be pissed off with you. And I thought to myself, like, that's ridiculous. Like, so basically what you're saying is my selection must be based on what you've already pre-planned to play. As a DJ, I'll be honest with you, I have never planned my set. Like only when I started playing like urban music and that, I felt like I had to. Like, but I would just turn up at a dance, and play what I feel was next. Like, do you know what I mean? And back in the garage days, oh my gosh, Tough Jam used to play boom, 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 boom. And then they'll play this sick tune, play a sick Todd Edwards tune. And then EZ will come on after him, play a sick set, but he'll still play the same Todd Edwards tune.
Yeah, but that's different though.
Yeah, I know it's different and that's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, it's completely different. So me coming into that urban world, it was frustrating. But
although if I heard the same Drake tune by four DJs in one night at White Dubai, for instance, I would be a bit like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
Like, even you might get it twice, but yeah. I feel with on that though, Tough Jam and EZ and Rough Cut Lloyd might have played one or two songs that were the same. But
not six or seven.
Nah.
No, but the way they played it.
Yeah, but yeah. I disagree. There were tunes on rotation, man. All right, not six or seven, fair enough. But there was definitely a good four tracks that would get played by every DJ in that dance. Mm.
But at the same time, that weren't a bad thing back then because that's how tunes were being broken.
Exactly.
That's how tunes become big.
Exactly. And that's what, why, and, but then
what
that's
you when, weren't getting then, what you weren't getting then was, let's take Dilemma. When So Solid first dropped Dilemma, we all remember this. I thought it was EZ's track. You couldn't get it. So even if you heard it three times in a night, you didn't mind because you knew you weren't going to hear that song again till next Saturday when you go out. Whereas now, Drake's dropping his tune and letting everyone know the day it comes out. So I've heard it all day on Spotify or Apple. And then I've gone out the next day. I've heard it twice the same night. Then I'm listening to it all week. I'm bored of it.
Yeah, that's
after
true.
After a couple of weeks.
And that, what's that Daniel Bedingfield tune? Got to get through this. Everyone thought that was easy.
Yeah, when that first dropped.
Can you imagine that?
I think it was a different time.
Yeah, man.
You couldn't Shazam it. You couldn't just get it straight away, though. So there was no chance.
Pirate, possibly, if someone was lucky to get the promo. But it wasn't accessible. I think that's the big difference.
Just going back to what you were saying, Haynes, about, like, say, Danny Neville, for example. Do you think, like, being in the club now is a time where DJs should talk before their sets or not?
Well, or do you just I think with that, being in Dubai, because it's not a rave. Do you know what I mean? But like, do raves exist anymore? Can you actually have a rave with R&B music? No. So in that sense, you all should talk. You should have a meeting at first. I've not seen an R&B rave. Like a Love Juice rave. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, nah, bro. Like, Love Juice pops off. That's a rave, bro. Like, R&B ain't giving you that, bruv. And that's why I think you should have meetings as DJs.
I think that's different because the clubs you're talking about, and there's cool parties that go on where they're raves, R&B raves. Like, they're just the venues you're thinking of. They're like, back to Danny Neville, but the party Danny Neville does on a Friday in Cove Beach is a rave.
Yeah.
And it is like just pure vibes, new, old.
Yeah, but do you know why though? I think that is because it's at Cove. It's not in a club. It's outdoor. It's a different scenario. So people go there with a different vibe. But then, so people go to Cove with a different vibe to people going to White. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I remember when I went to one of these things, and it was sick. It was so dope. Yeah, they had the tables and all that, but the vibe was completely different, and I think it is because it's outdoor and it's at a beach and whatever else. And
I think what Haynes is saying, obviously Love Juice, what we do is a different sound to what's happening in Dubai with Danny Neville and that. But like the perception of going into a warehouse, the perception of going into a tent at a festival is a different, even you get ready differently. Do you know what I'm trying to say? You wake up, you're going there in casual wear, trainers, jeans, whatever you want. Your mentality is different from the moment you leave your house.
You leave your house,
When you go to White, Libertine, Tate, all these sort of clubs. Where am I going to spend tonight? Who am I going to see? What am I wearing? I think your mentality is different. That's the difference between going clubbing and raving for me. So I know what you're saying about there's no R&B raves, but I would actually come back and say, nah, there are actually.
Yeah, but you say that. Then back in the day, garage raves, you had to dress up, bro.
Yeah, but the vibe was there, though. But the vibe was there. It weren't the same as this dress up now. People would dress up there, and they were still. No one would be stush, bro. Everyone would be vibing. Like that guy with all these clothes on, they'd be vibing. And that was it. Back in the day, that was the only way that them guys could.
There was no tables. There was no tables.
That's the point. Yeah.
VIP culture, though, isn't it? There wasn't that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
That's
what
killed
it. And they were put on their
big arms.
There
wasn't a segregation.
They were put on their big arms, but they'll still like throw champagne on each other. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, they wouldn't be all funny about their arms, and it'd be a good time. Like,
there was no segregation. There was no big VIP queue. There was no table queue. We all queued up together. We paid the same money for the ticket. We went in, listened to the same music that we all loved. We all dressed the same. So there was no segregation. So yeah, that was probably more similar to how it is now.
Yeah.
But it's interesting.
It is. Well, we ain't even intro'd this. We've just been talking for the last 25 minutes, and that's how we're just going in. But this is what? Is it something we're going to be doing weekly? I don't know, George. George is the busy one here. George is the busiest person I know on lockdown.
Yeah. I've been busier than what I normally am. It's weird.
Yeah. You know what it is, right? Mentally, I feel like if I'm not doing something that can affect something, sorry, if I'm not doing something that can positively affect my life when lockdown is over, I feel like, what am I doing? So I find myself, I'm probably being busier than I need to be, if I'm being honest with you, but I just find myself doing something, even if it's just like reposting a Spotify link. Like I'm always thinking, what should I be doing? What can I be doing? And obviously I've got the little one as well. So I'm like, do you know what I mean? I've never seen his flipping face so much. Than I have right now. So like trying to balance the two.
I hear that.
But yeah, man, like.
So we're saying it now.
I'd agree with Sammy.
This is a pilot thing. We're going to commit to this weekly. We're happy with the name, yeah?
Chatterbox is a good name, I think.
Yeah, and no, I like it, mate.
Chatterbox. Whose idea was that one? Over Shisha.
I think if we. If we can all commit to a day and a time, we've been talking half an hour. It feels to me like it's an hour and a bit, maybe.
Yeah.
How long do we feel people will listen to these things?
Duration.
I think hours are good, man. I think hours are good.
But if we're flowing, we'll know that when's the right time, innit? That's just how it is.
But then obviously the editing and stuff like that, true? Or is it just going to go how it is?
We'll see, unless there's any moments that need to be cut out. Haynes has said anything that shouldn't be in it.
Well, I think this one should be Chat in a Box, Pilot 1, featuring Danny Neville.
You could tag him.
Agendas. Generally though, like how have you lot found obviously the last 3 or 4 weeks?
But I'm not gonna lie, it's been great being at home with the kids and just being in one place, but cabin fever's hit me, boy. And it's just like I had no music set up. I couldn't DJ, I couldn't do anything for the first 2 weeks. But as soon as I got the decks and speakers, I was fine, boy. I think that's just all it took.
How strict is it there in terms of lockdown and stuff?
24-hour lockdown. You have to get a permit to leave your house. You can have one permit every 3 days.
Wow. And how long you have to leave your house for?
Like, when you fill in your permit, you have to basically say what you're going out for. Like groceries or to the doctors.
How long does it take to get the permit once you've filled it in? Or
10 minutes. They reply straight away. Yeah.
And is it one permit per household?
Yeah. In 3 days? No. It's just one per person.
Oh, so the household usually will go out every day in the week.
Yeah.
Well, people out there like bulk buying stuff and all that. Like there was it.
Nah, man. No. Yeah.
They've still got deliveries. Like they've got McDonald's deliveries.
Everything, all the high-end restaurants are delivering. Like
I saw one of your posts like saying, what was it? I ordered this time ago. Like you was like proper upset. And I thought, fucking hell, bruv. Like it's lockdown. Give them a break.
They replied to me. Like obviously with a blue tick in that. They replied to me.
Obviously.
They replied and they were like, next one's on us. Anytime you want to order, just WhatsApp me straight away.
Man got that voucher,
I got the voucher, bro. Had to be done. But yeah, I just
KFC have just announced they're going to start delivering now, I think.
Of course they were going to be the first. Or something. Of course they were going to be the first. But yeah, it took for Dex and that to be here for me to get my head out of just like repetitiveness. And I think that's why I've had to get into doing these mixes every day. Like it's good I'm putting them out, but even if I weren't putting them out, I needed to just be doing something like that.
Yeah, see, I ain't got my decks up here, man. Like, and I don't know if I had my decks, I don't know if I would have started a live stream. Actually, I wouldn't have because the internet's not quite bad, but.
Oh, you're paying. I know you're paying, bruv.
Yeah, like, but it's, to be fair though, all my days, obviously, I've got the Ableton program, but I ain't installed it because I ain't got a laptop for it. But I've re-downloaded a trial for this laptop. They've given me 90 days. 90-day trial.
Buzzing.
But you can make an album with that time.
Seriously. Like, so honestly, I've been, for the last like week, I've been making grime music and I'm fucking having fun with it. Like, I feel like, I don't know, I'm having so much fun with it. And I'm just going with it. Oh, it's sick, bruv. Like, so yeah, boy.
It's
like
a perfect time to experiment, though, isn't it?
Yeah, man. And I've just never. And the thing with grime is, I feel like, obviously, back in the day, technically, it wasn't great. Do you know what I mean? Whereas now, technically, I feel like it's a lot better. But I think the sounds that are used are just, they're quite kiddish. Like, I don't know. Like,
amateur, you mean?
Yeah, like, I just feel like, you don't have to think too much about this sound.
It's a minimalistic. Yeah. It's a minimalistic sound, though. Isn't
yeah,
it? And because it's not really made to make you feel good or anything. It's kind of made to spit over, in it. So
yeah, like exactly.
But I do. Like, you know what? I'm not a grime specialist, but I do rate how they feel. I was telling Sam about this yesterday. I rate how they feel the space. You say they're amateur or like kiddish sounds, but you do have to fill a lot of space when there's not a lot going on in the tune. So. I do,
but then that's not that hard when you've got like an MC on it as well. Do you know what I mean? Because there's a lot of tunes that bang, and if you just listen to them without an MC, you just think, "Raw, like where's the rest of it?" Do you know what I mean? But when the MC's on it, it goes off, and they're the ones that get reload on Boiler Room and shit. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
how about you, Sam? Have you found lockdown?
Remixes, man. Probably more this like the past 2-3 weeks than I've ever done. And just giving me time to really focus on getting that out, really. But
what remixes that have come to you? Are they remixes that have come to you from during this time, or ones that?
Yeah, more than ever.
Why
I feel like a lot of people with indie labels are now looking at this as like they might have had, ourselves included, obviously people with independent labels are now looking to like release more than ever just because they're going to need that income. They but haven't then, got an event or a show to supplement that. So,
but does it count? Okay, yeah, with the event stuff, but then the tracks, will the tracks penetrate through as much because there's no clubs?
It's definitely made me think about music differently in terms of like having a commercial edge to a lot of things. Like thinking more, is this, could this work? Even though it's club music, could this work on streaming? Could this work on radio? Where before I was thinking, okay, first and foremost, was it going to work in a club? It's kind of made me think that a little bit. Like, I mean, hopefully by the time some of these things come out, lockdown's over, but obviously, to what extent we don't know. It might take a while. So I'm looking at this kind of like with fresh ears to a thing, like to an extent where I'm thinking more so, is this, could you listen to this indoors? Do you have to be in a club to enjoy this? Whether it's using more sort of vocal hooks or more sample based stuff.
Even with obviously you just put out the track with you and Martin Akin and Diplo played it on his live stream. Do you think it's going to get to that point where like Diplo playing it on a live stream now is the cosign as to Diplo playing it on his Diplo and Friends show on Radio 1?
Mate, I've had from that, that's done more Shazams than what it probably would have done on the radio show.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Really. Like,
but then that just goes back to the whole pirate like way, isn't it? Yeah. Like, really? Like, do you know what I mean?
Becomes about the artist more, isn't it? As opposed to the platform he's on.
Yeah.
I think from what I'm seeing, I don't know as much about the kind of UK scene in terms of like urban scene, but Fish is releasing records, Camel Fat, Salado, no one's slowing down.
Yeah, can I?
I'd probably say it's probably more competitive than ever. Calvin Harris is dropping bits. I'm still seeing Drake dropping tunes. So I think music in this moment is probably as strong as it ever been.
Can I ask you something? Because you're a producer / DJs, right? And I don't know if this ties into what you've just said, but you know, like back in the day, when the producer would make a song and they needed that DJ to break it, blah blah blah, and then like, I don't know, like early 2000s, probably it got to a point where like the promoters wanted to book the producer instead of the DJ that would break the tune. So then the producer would get headlined over that DJ when the producer ain't a DJ. And then that producer learns to DJ while he's getting headline gigs. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I would like to touch on that. You're DJ, promoter, and the producer. Do you know what I mean? So,
that would be now easier, a lot easier now than before. Like in the early 2000s.
So it'd go back to now. You're saying it's gonna kind of go back to that. Is that what you're saying?
I think it already has.
I still think the producer's winning. Personally, is that what you mean?
I think
the producers are winning. Yeah,
no offense.
I think. Yeah, go on.
No offense at all. Like, do you know what I mean? But I don't think they should. That's it. Like,
I think it should be more the DJ. You think?
Yeah, man, definitely. Like, I really do. Like, I really do, man.
Do you know when it changed? Festivals.
Yeah, and that's when you had Magnetic Man and all them people like. Them days.
If I hear a Duke Dumont tune, and that happens to be my favourite tune, and Duke Dumont's playing at my favourite festival, I'm going to the Duke Dumont show, and it becomes a show, and that's what I'm investing into. It don't matter that it's Charlesy that's played me the tune for the last 10 weeks in a club. The guy that made the tune's actually here, so I want to go and see that person.
Yeah, but from a promoter's point of view, that's you talking on a higher level, though. Like, these younger producers... I don't know, you guys have signed smaller DJs, smaller producers that weren't even DJs, and then you've kind of put them on parties. Like, that's basically doing what Haynes is saying. Do you get what I'm saying?
Mm. Yeah, but then
bigger DJs, it's easier.
But George is saying, like, it stemmed from that, like, from the festivals, and then obviously triggered down. Like, that's where it came from.
But do you think now, like, it's hard to be, like... if you are a producer first and foremost, or if you're sorry, I'll go the other way. So say you're a DJ first and foremost, like myself, George, kind of everyone probably, but if you don't have the tunes, it's going to be hard for you to get out there. I've said that to people, always ask me, oh, how do I get out there as a DJ? And I've always said, like, whether you like it or not, at the moment, it's about the music first and like the music is going to get you out there more than you could be the best DJ technically ever. But
is that more in a dance thing, in the dance world than anything?
I think so. Yeah, obviously the urban thing's different, but it's like saying, would you book the biggest UK rap producer to DJ?
Nah, you wouldn't.
Yeah, but you say that, it's like someone like Steel Bangles, for example. He's a producer, he's not really a DJ, but he gets more shows than most of these artists because he's got a catalogue of tunes he's produced.
I look at him like an artist, though. I think that's a bit different, right? And the reason why I think that is because if he's DJing and all he's playing is his tunes, then that's a showcase. Do you know what I mean? And I can kind of work with that. Do you know what I mean? But then if him as a producer who's massive then gets booked and then half of his set is not his,
then you go back to the house guys. Like all of the biggest house guys, they don't play 2 hours of their own music. They can't.
No. Yeah, but I think it's different. I think that's different though. Like I think that's different. I think that's a little bit different.
In the urban scene, is it not about where you play? And you know, does that make sense? So like some of the I don't know the names, Charles, you'll know the names, but the ones that I see doing the most are the ones that are resident at Libertine, resident at Tape. Then you'll see them getting flown to Dubai. They'll be flown to Cannes and that kind of thing. Is it not more about, or do you rate them technically? Like what who are the ones that are winning right now and why would you say they're winning?
I think there's a big...
None of them make music.
No, and even just going back to me, is like from the start, I always said I wasn't gonna make music, not gonna make music, but I always wanted to be as big as I can without making music.
Yeah,
because I just felt like you just, especially in the urban world and what I play, I think it's just, I don't know, there's more to kind of get to the level I've got to without making music as a DJ. I kind of feel like I've got more to show for it. Do you get what I mean? And obviously coming through Tiny obviously helped and all of that, but in terms of what you're saying about these, say, West End circuit DJs and stuff like that. Yeah, but it's a small circuit.
Yeah.
Like, there's probably only 15 kind of DJs within that circuit that are doing the rounds, flying to these places, but they're the same people. And it's going to be hard for these younger DJs to come through. And it's like, even if you look at someone like O'Neill, bro, like, he's forcing his way in and he'll get there. But everyone that's kind of underneath him, they're going to struggle. Until someone leaves or they're looking for the next person. And then it's being that extra, having that extra thing about you as a DJ. Like, I kind of felt me playing in the West End, I hated it. I never enjoyed playing in the West End, but obviously it's always good money.
Sammy said the same thing.
But then I think what kind of separated me from them guys at the time was I would DJ and be on the mic.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be the way through for a lot of these new guys. But other than that, I don't think the circuit can be any bigger than what it is.
In the urban team.
Unless you're the biggest from an area. Like right now, the Birmingham DJs are killing it. Or if you're the biggest DJ in Manchester and you're that one DJ that's coming out of it, you're going to fit into that Western circuit and do the rounds and go to Dubai and go France and all of that and Ibiza. But it's not in London. I don't know how people are going to do it, brothers.
And this goes back to the conversation about how do you stand out as an urban DJ if everyone's playing the same music, dropping it the same kind of way, downloading the same songs. Do you have to be the person that plays the song first? Do you have to be technically more gifted?
But that's where the politics comes. If you play it first, but then that guy felt entitled that he should play it because he was higher on the flyer. Do you know what I mean? It's ridiculous.
I won't mention names, but I've seen that
Mention like, names. A lot. Just mention it. What's wrong with you?
I'm here to sit on the fence, man.
Hey, George, text me. I'll mention it for you.
Yeah, no, I've seen it. Because I think for a lot of these guys, the pressure to be part of the clique that Charles is talking about is so intense that if they're not seen to be the ones that someone filmed playing that tune, or such and such played that tune at the pool party, do you remember? If that wasn't you, it's not cool. So yeah, but then
that's where it's getting worse, because something like that, and then say for example you've got a 5 DJ lineup, the second DJ is going to try and play the big tunes for that video.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, then you get the repetitive of the tunes, like especially last year booking in Ibiza, I would book and I wouldn't be giving people the main set all the time. Like it'd be rotated or whatever. Say Haynes played, he played a different set every week at a different time. I'd give people warm-ups. I'd book people from the UK, fly them out and give them a warm-up. And it's like, that's where the tests are sometimes. And you need to know that you can play a good warm-up or a good set after the main set to see if you actually are cut out for this. Because if you can't, if you give that one person from the West End or their trial as a whole night, what would they do?
Yeah.
And then when it's going to make them think.
I have a similar thing with even in the house scene. DJs will say, you know, such and such a person gets the best set times every time they play. So how do I make more noise as an up-and-coming artist? I might even have music out, but how do I make more noise if I'm not getting the set time?
Right, you know, can I say something in response to that then? Like, I think that DJ's got it twisted. And maybe this is because, like, I don't know, when I used to put events on and stuff. But, right, I feel like the warm-up DJ to any night is as important as the main DJ. And I know that sounds like a thing of, oh, it's a loser saying it's not the winning, it's the taking part. It's not like that. I think it is really important to have a good warm-up DJ. And only certain DJs can do that. Do you know what I mean? And I think if you're a DJ that can warm it up, and basically you're getting that next DJ on a hype thing, and he comes and butts it up straight after you because you've got him in it, bruv, you've done your part, bro. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And that's where the night itself is the important factor, not your ego.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean? And when I was putting on events, yeah, I remember I put people on first, and they used to moan at me. I swear to God, yeah, I swear down. I said, all right, do you know what? Play one more tune, I'll take over. I'll never book them again. I don't give a shit who you are. You're not bigger than the night, and that's my opinion. I'm done.
I think it takes you to do an event to realize that, though, because I remember before I was promoting, having that same, you know, frustration that I wasn't playing. You always feel like you're better than the other guy. That's how every DJ feels that way, or as good as. So I do remember the frustration, and it is tough. But ultimately, I guess the goal is to try and up your game, whether it's producing, whether it's technical. You have to just try and up your game all the time and just force your way in. But it is the argument.
If I was in your position, yeah, and I was putting on, like, say, like Love Juice and stuff like that, and I had a roster of DJs in that year, bro, I would be so militant, yeah, to the point where, like, if you think you're better than that DJ, fuck off. Do you know what I mean? Because you shouldn't think you're better than another DJ. You should just rate your own source, do you know what I mean? And come and do your thing. That other DJ that's good should inspire you, and you should, like, do you know what I mean? You should feel that energy from them so that you can come and deliver your thing. I don't think any DJ should feel they're better than anyone else. And I don't know if this is because I have such an old school mentality to DJing, but I can tell you something now. Growing up as a kid, I was a nut job. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was my brother. I was a crazy guy. It was my decks that kept me sane. Like, it was my decks that kept me nice. Like, do you know what I mean? So my approach to it all is very therapeutic. And that's why, like, I could never feel away from another DJ being sick. And I think that's why the urban scene, or doing urban music for me, doesn't give me the same thing the specialist sound does. Do you know what I mean? Because it is very
you can't get as creative with it.
No, bro. Yeah. Like, trust me, you could be the next DJ to me. Well, I'm going to be jumping up with you. Like, if you've done a sick mix, sick. I might not like you as a person, and I'm not going to say any names and all that. But like, yeah, I'll still rate you as a DJ like all day long. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, I think.
But what are you saying to them guys that are saying that to you, George?
I mean, a lot of the time, the people that are getting the better times as such are the people that we've booked in, special guests, or they're the residents that are sort of like actively got more music out or have a higher profile right now about themselves or about the bookings that they're doing. So it is really like with anything, I'm reactive the whole way through. Love Juice is going on to be 13 years old this time. The lineup's always changed and residents have changed and some have gone, some have stayed. I'm reactive. If you're hot, that's it. My job is to obviously sell tickets and please an audience. So if you're hot, you're straight in.
Just a question though. Say the residents, for example, the ones that are not making music, how would you go about making sure they've got the fair deal of the times and stuff like that then?
It's tough. It's become tougher. The bigger Love Juice has got, the more pressure there is to... sorting out my lighting. The bigger Love Juice has got, the more pressure there is to book special guests now, which obviously does have an effect on... Before, as you know, with Love Juice, we weren't booking anyone. So everyone had an opportunity, and I used to rotate a bit more, I'd say, probably more fairly to play a main time. But when you're booking three or four... I don't want to call them headliners, but three or four special guests to join us, it's a lot tougher to do that. Luckily for us, most of the venues we do, we've got two rooms. So we're able to make sure that everyone at some point over the shows gets a chance at playing to a full house. But it has become harder, I won't lie to you. But it's going back to what Sammy said, really. Ultimately, you have to make music now in that industry. We never used to get involved in the politics. We were doing Essex venues, Liverpool, Marbella. It was very much a need-to-know thing. It was niche. I'd probably still say it's quite niche now. It's just grown a bit more. But now it's more competitive.
With a festival.
Just a little bit.
It is. To get into the, like, you know, we've got 338 later on this year. We're doing our own festival, as you just said. We're doing some, you know, much bigger projects. So with that comes the need to sell more tickets, right? So to sell more tickets, you need to have bigger attractions. So whether that, you know, that's forced my hand, I'll be honest with you. Like, me making music, Sammy knows this, me making music was more about me trying to stay relevant for Love Juice as much for me so that I could still play there. Because I was finding I was having to put myself warm up because, like, there were certain other guys that was doing more than me, and I've always put Love Juice first. So I thought, you know what, let me go and do the course, let me make some beats, and luckily a few tunes have connected, and that keeps me relevant to the youngsters. And that was one of the biggest things for me. So I kind of feel like, yeah, I felt the pressure. You got to make music to be out here. And a lot of the stuff I've done over the 18 months is definitely off the back of me making tunes. If not, I don't think I get the bookings, and I don't think people ain't it fast.
And were you getting as much like before you had the tunes out? Obviously, you being
not a chance,
Mr. Love Juice, doing that, and you must see an impact of that. But then that also shows people that are not making music what you can do if you put your head to making music and DJ.
Friendly pressure dropped in November, but the work really started before that. You've all heard 30 versions of it before it even came out, and from October, obviously before the lockdown happened, I didn't have a week off till like June, just off the back of Friendly Pressure. So there's no way you're telling me that making music doesn't affect your bookings. 100% it does. And it just affects the perception, you know. I can't remember, it's been a while since I turned up to other raves and people are like, oh my God, like, it's George, that's that George Mensah. Only because of the music, they're connecting with that. Because I'm not all over Instagram. I'm not like Fisher doing stupidness on stories, and I'm quite faceless with it. So it's definitely the music that makes them want to know more.
Yeah, so, but then at the same time, I think the way you just said, like, you're quite faceless with it, and you're not all over social. I think that works in your favor as well. Like, that's like a marketing strategy in itself. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unintendedly, I don't know. Like, but I'm just saying that that is a good look, and that's a good strategy, whether you mean it or not. Do you know what I mean? So I think that works well.
I've only had Instagram 3 years, 3.5 years. I was quite late on it, to be honest with you. Because I just didn't really feel like I needed it. I'd always hidden behind Love Juice, really. And I know you've got to put yourself a bit out there more. But yeah, I kind of do that for my music. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Rather than trying to be the clown and sort of try and be the front for it, I just do that through my music. But I don't think it's the same for everyone.
No homo, but that's attractive in itself. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't think it's the same for every industry. But yeah, unfortunately, man, the house thing, especially in the UK, is somewhat competitive. So you do have to get stuck in.
Not for this podcast, but I would like to have a discussion about house itself for an hour. Because I love house, like I really do, yeah. But I just find it so complicated, man. Like if I go online and I want to find myself like a set, like of what I would call deep techie house, love. Like I find it really hard to find it. Like that tune that I really like will be in another category or. Oh, it's weird, bro. I just think
I mean, I'm exactly the same. Yesterday, I had to message George about what I should call my mix because I was like, I don't know what type of house I was playing.
It's a joke.
I love it, and I know that it's. And even when I listen back to the mix today, there's tunes that were like kind of took it a bit off. But at that time, when I'm thinking of an era of tunes, it was part of that that time. So it's like,
man, it's a mad one. House is a mad one, bro. Like it's just crazy.
Right now, the big thing's the return of deep house, but they're also calling it minimal. But Sammy will tell you, you've heard it.
I can see why this is confusing. But
it's garage, basically.
It's garage, but quicker.
It's not flowers. Like I'll bring you flowers, garage, chocolate boy garage. It's the garage that we grew up on, like 96, 97, 98.
Which we would have just called 4-4 back in the day, innit? Like,
I guess so.
Yeah, but that's true though. Garage was the same back then. Like, I did a garage mix today, and some of the stuff I'm playing in it is like, I started going deeper and deeper, thinking, now what am I going to call this mix? In the end, I've just called it because I it's a London thing. I literally called the mix "It's a London Thing" old school garage because I just couldn't think of what to call it. It's not commercial. It's not the bait ones that people know. But it's garage. But what part of garage is it? And I just think that's just where
This is interesting in itself, yeah? Because back in the day when we did just have pirate radio and the pirate stations were put on their raves and whatever else, they were able at the time to, like, obviously it was new music. So when garage, for example, that like, was new. So the people that done it named it. Do you know what I mean? And then, whereas now, there's new music, but it sounds like garage, so we're going to call it garage. We're not calling anything new. There's no new genres coming about now. Like, do you know what I mean? It's all everything fresh. It sounds like something else, so we're going to call it that. Like, do you know what I mean? I don't know. I think it's
I don't think that's happening in dance.
Do you know what?
I don't think it's happening in dance because let's say
garage. Let's say garage, for example, like all the stuff now, we're calling it new school garage. Like, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Why would you call it new school garage when it's just garage? And like old school garage is old school garage. The garage now is garage, but we're calling it new school garage. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like
The reality is two things on that. The reality is garage has been overused for longer than forever. The tunes that we grew up loving ain't as cool anymore. And if you're someone that's trying to sort of create a new scene or create your space in an environment, you have to call it something else for people to get excited about and attached to. If someone said to me, I'll come to a garage rave, the first thing I'm thinking is, No sex. you know what I mean? Like certain tracks. Whereas if you said to me, "Oh, new, there's a new garage thing," like I'm a bit like, okay, like my ears are piping up a bit to that. I get why they want to put a new, like I'm saying, the minimal thing that I just spoke about has elements of garage and elements of deep house that music that would have been on Charles's mix that he did yesterday or the day before. But they have to call it something new because the kids want to be excited about something new, and it's the kids that are on this as well.
But, yeah, but George,
Hang on one sec, this is what I'm saying. I'm saying that I don't think it's being called something new. This is my point. Do you know what I mean? I don't think anything's being labelled as a new sound ever. It's always something new garage, new this, whatever. Like even the garage now, yeah. Instead of calling it new garage, like old school garage before it became garage was called two step. Like that's what we called it, or speed garage. There were sections of garage back in the day. Now we don't even see that. Like,
why do we need to name it though?
I'm not saying we need to. I'm just saying, like, why are we clinging on?
Do you know why you need to? Like, it needs to be named. My personal opinion is because, especially with garage now, like on my radio show, I was always saying new school garage, and then thinking about why am I saying this. But then when I'd be having interviews with the old school garage people, who are not necessarily rating this new school garage sound, they're the ones that not indirectly saying it, but they're not going to just allow it to be called garage. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, even if you see,
it's not holy enough.
No, like Matt Jam Lamont, he's got a new project with Scott Garcia, and he's just saying garage. Like, he's not saying.
Yeah, but when you garage, the thing is though, because we're old schoolers, when you say them two names together, you know it's garage. You know that is authentic, real garage from the
garage. that's what I'm saying. But what Matt Jam Lamont and Scott Garcia are making sounds like the garage back then, but just cleaner and a bit more fresher. But there is a new school garagey sound that is not the same.
Then call it something else. Don't call it new school garage. That's my point.
Was it Scott Garcia or Scott Diaz?
Scott Diaz.
Yeah.
I would be happy with this new school stuff, like this new school garage. Just call it two-step then. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, just like...
Yeah, but then like you said, the two-step back then is what you was calling two-step.
Two-step back then is not a thing. Like... Do you know what I mean? It's not a thing. So you can say two-step. No one's going to go, oh my God, it's being used already. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, the reason why it was called two-step, because garage back in the day was 4-4. That's all it was. Do you know what I mean? It was 4-4. Then when the two-step came in, they referred it as two-step. And then when
cast your mind back. Mm-hmm. Cast your mind back to being at school and you discovered garage for the first time. Like, surely... Mm-hmm. The fact that it had a tag and it was called something excited you. Like, it's not jungle anymore. Everyone's playing this now. Like, we was either calling it House and G or we was calling it Garage. That for me was exciting. I felt like I was part of some kind of movement, even though I was nothing to do with it.
But just listening on radio. I agree with you, George.
So like, all I'm saying is with the kids now who are into like the Rossies and East End Dubs, I'm talking more on the house world now. That's kind of like where the hot underground music is coming from now. They're all calling it minimal because it's something that they can kind of feel they're part of. They go to the shows. Right now it's kind of small because it works in spaces like 93 Fabric and that. But that's their thing. And even though to us it sounds like it's some kind of deep house fusion of garage, for them that's, do you know what I mean?
A question on that. With what they're doing, like I don't know what they're doing, but with what they're doing, do they need the cosign of the people that are into that, like the bigger people? Do they need their cosign to say that that is the minimal sound?
What do you mean by that? Sorry.
Like...
The clubbers or the producers?
Both, really.
Yeah, they all are out here really owning that, calling it minimal, to be honest.
But then that's what I'm saying. So that will work because everyone's saying it. And everyone's agreeing with that's what it can be. But with this garagey sound, this new school garage, like the old school garage, the old garage heads are not riding with it. And that's not allowing these new school guys to come through and be as big as what they are.
But do you know what though? Like at the same time, as much as I've said this, I'm just playing a little bit like devil's advocate a bit, Them old school garage guys who are not letting it happen, they've been doing that all the time. They've
I didn't want Grimes.
Exactly my point. That's exactly my point. Yeah. Like they're so up their own arses, they won't allow anything to come in that's not theirs. Back in the day, the garage sound was so clicky, bruv. There were no DJs can come into there and become one of the DJs. There was a list of DJs, and those were the elite DJs for garage. Do you know what I mean? And then obviously, look what they've done with Grime. So really and truly, if they haven't learned like to kind of accept it, not necessarily agree with it, but accept it, become one with it, and join forces with it, and then you might become a bit more relevant. Do you know what I mean? To the kids. The
ones that did are still here today, though. MJ Cole. He embraced all of it. He's embraced everything.
MJ Cole's a different level. I feel like MJ Cole's a complete different level, man.
Is why, though, because he embraces music. Yeah. He saw beyond garage, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the older guys, there's a worry that these... Because as well, the old school garage raving scene and the ones that are getting booked... It's a very small circuit and there's a select amount of people. So the moment these new school garage people come through, the old school garage heads are worried about it.
Why are they worried? Why are they worried? Like, it's not like they were popping off for the last 10 years. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is your ticket in, bruv.
I don't know what you think, Sam, but as much as I love it, and I watched DZ's live stream, which was also amazing, 24-hour one that he did. Whenever he was playing new stuff, there was a few that I actually thought, okay, this is actually like really good, like really well produced. But I did find myself, I kind of tuned into that, wanting to hear old stuff.
Yeah, but that's because it's that wanting him to see him chop it up and do mad tricks and loops and all that. You didn't want EZ to educate you about that. But say someone like in that new garage thing, something like Mind of a Dragon or one of them who is Beast.
Predator.
Who's got like a super clean new school garage sound. If you tune into them, that's I think you'd be actually, way more accepting of that.
I
think the only way this new school garage sound can really penetrate is if it comes from somewhere else. If it's in London, these London old school garage heads are not allowing it. Like Birmingham, like there's some big Birmingham kind of garage producers and DJs. If they owned it and didn't let anyone else kind of mess with it and this, the sound that it sounds like now, it could be big.
Yeah.
Production's mad.
I think it's well produced, very well produced, a lot more creative. Vocals are good. Like it's not even just MC and garage. Like it is clean, good songs.
Yeah, it's a tough one, man. I'm just trying to see how that could ever really take over London again like it did before.
I personally just think like people try and own music too much, right? And I think that's what fucks it all up. Do you know what I mean? I think these old school guys need to just relax. Like, yeah, you were the pioneer of it and whatever else, yeah? But you're not young anymore. Do you know what I mean? You, that guy, you're not the young guy anymore. He's the young guy. He's the guy that can go to university raves and butt it up. You can't.
Yeah, but you do say that, but these old school garage heads are just as relevant in some crowds as these youngsters, bro. Like, they're getting bookings.
After Dodger.
But they're playing at the places where there's younger people and they're still...
They're the ones that are not moaning, bruv.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah, you're right.
They're the ones not moaning.
I don't know, man. I'm not saying no names, but they're moaning, bro.
I think people need to chill a bit, man. If I was making this new school garage shit and that old school garage producer
not
was
shit,
like, oh,
bro, it's not shit.
No, I say that just loosely. And that new school guy was like, oh no, I'm not accepting this. I'd be like, well, fuck you then. I'm just going to call it new school. Do you own that? No, you don't. So let's just call it new school then. I'll just call it myself. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, what? I don't understand why it's a big thing, bruv. Like, I think it's
ultimately
weird.
The music will do the music will do the talking.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, but at the moment,
it will do the talking to a select amount of people. And that's
why
it's not going to be as big.
Because the old school garage heads are not.
Just in general.
Is that because
like,
the old school garage heads are not accepting it? Is that why?
Like, think of the last 5 to 6, or even longer. Like, Disclosure came we thought there was a bit of a garage resurgence. And then the next track that's kind of done that after that is AJ Tracy with Ladbroke Grove. And it's like, what have we heard since then that's going to kind of penetrate and make people, okay, cool, there's a sound here again.
It just doesn't appeal to the masses. The promoters ain't really getting behind it, bro. Like, me more so, Sammy too, both come from a garage background, appreciate all the stuff that from the 90s till now. But as a promoter, can I invest in a sound that I'm not sure about when I 100% know that Clooney and Endor are going to put bums on seats? That's kind of like... Do you know what I mean? That's the reality of where we are right now. If you were going to do a garage party, as a promoter, I'm saying, this is not as someone that's, you know, I'm not talking about music head here, just as someone that wants to sell tickets, I'm thinking, Predator, Mind of a Dragon, or Luck and Eat or Artful Dodger. Do you know what I mean? You just want, And I think it does come down to that, because as much as we're now saying that, yep, streaming's big, it's looking like pirate radio again, obviously Spotify is massive, it does all still stem from the club. The club still is the foundation for any movement. So if it's not being, if it's not accessible in the clubs to all these kids up and coming, it's never going to penetrate. Do you know what I'm saying?
But a time like this now, a time like now when everyone's on lockdown and stuff like that, this is the time for it then. Because like you said, people putting out music more than ever. Everyone's going back to the old school kind of sounds. Like, say, GT's doing an old school garage thing. He's maybe the people like him and other people that are doing live streams, but then we're saying new music ain't going to penetrate through that. Like, I don't know, man. I want it to work because I think it sounds good.
It's tough for any scene. But
I would love if you saw a garage anywhere near the level it was. Imagine going out on a Saturday to a commercial club and hearing new school garage. As much as I'd love that, I struggle to see it to that level of, like, you wouldn't go to a high street club where before you go to a high street club and hear garage. You're not going to go there and hear it now.
All right, can I will say something about that here. You see the new school garage stuff, yeah? It's quite heavy, don't you think? Right?
Some of it's songs, though.
Some of it is like very R&B influenced, yeah?
I don't know. I think it's very heavy compared to old school, where the old school garage stuff, you had a lot of vocals. When they were doing their songs, there were songs about love, songs about relationships, songs about this. These are the type of songs that would bring the girls in. Do you know what I mean? I don't see that with the new school garage stuff where girls are going to get excited over it. I see it as like a man thing.
When Mitch was on One Extra, the first half hour, 45 minutes, I'd say, 60% of it was vocal driven, I'd say.
Yeah, it might be vocal, vocal driven, but it's I feel like it's a lot heavier. It's
a lot more like the, you're talking more like the baseline stuff.
Yeah, man, like it's a lot more.
Oh, that stuff.
Gully, it's a lot more gully, and it's not girl friendly. Like,
you're talking more like Holy Goof, like actual baseline.
But then that's you kind of saying it on a level of an underground level. So are you saying that to make it kind of a mass appeal, a more commercial level, it would need to be them girly tracks to do it?
Yeah, definitely, man. Definitely. Yeah, that's an aspect of garage that the girls would come out to and the guys would sing along to Flowers. The guys would sing along to Tina Moore. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was light. It was feathery. Like, it was happy-go-lucky. Like, do you know what I mean? And the woman in that song...
I wish people could see what I could see.
The woman in that song is singing about a relationship. She's singing about a boyfriend, even if it's about the boyfriend cheating. Like, these are relatable things that back in the day.
No, there's a few, though. There's a few artists, and it's not producers. Like, there's a girl called Lost Girl who she signed to Island, and it's just a garage sound.
Oi, I was looking for her, but I couldn't find her.
But it's not producer led. Like, she's just.
You just got that in.
George is still thinking.
What? You missed his joke.
But she, like, it's not one select producer. She's got a project that's like 3 or 4 garage sounding tracks. Mira May, a lot of her stuff is very kind of garagey-esque. So there's people that are doing it, but artists just need to own it then. That's what more needs to happen in the producer side of things.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think probably that's the way to go. Or a label needs to own it. Yeah. Not only, when I say own it, I don't mean own the sound, but just drive it and make it a big
force. Label it. Yeah, label it. This is what it is. And I think that's probably why people are not owning it, because we're having a discussion about it like this, whereas it's not getting accepted where we're. And that's why I think, yeah, it could work. I think it can. It just needs to be a bit more. Like, even look at urban, UK urban stuff. Like, when it started getting all a bit more like all fluffy and that, it started popping off. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it weren't like that before. Like, do you know what I mean? Look at the old school UK hip hop guys. Like,
they were proper hip. They weren't having
skinny man. Like, they weren't happening like that. And then when it started, the music started changing. It started getting a bit more melodic and a bit more melodies and light on the rapping. Like, it popped off. Like, do you know what I mean?
I've been joined by
let's wrap it there anyway.
Is that the time?
How long has this been? We've done a while, isn't it? Yeah,
hour and a bit.
Hour and 20.
Well, we started at half one, isn't it?
Come out of the picture. Yeah.
But cool. That
was decent. To be fair, it's not going to be hard to. It's not going to be hard to do this weekly, I don't think.
One more thing I wanted to say before, when you mentioned MJ Cole, I don't know if this is true, yeah, but apparently I heard that he was responsible for all of Ramsey and Fenn's tunes.
Correct.
And then he left them, and then Ramsey and Fenn like fell off. Like, just thought I'll...
They still... he made Love...
Like, is that true? Like, yeah, I know. Like,
Always and Forever, all the tunes.
Yeah. I think that's
not just them.
That's an old school interesting gem right there.
He made Shadows by Hermit and Daniel Ward. He made
were they really producers though? Like, I mean, like,
I think this guy's Daniel garage Ward knowledge is incredible. Like,
oh yeah, bro. Give me an hour on garage, I'll just leave the whole conversation, no problem. Yeah, MJ Cole, absolute G.
Let's end every week just with like one track that we're kind of feeling and into. Old, new, your own, Sammy. Anything you want to plug that you're feeling track-wise, let's just get it out there, man.
Whoa. Am I starting?
Of course.
I like the thing coming yesterday, the Disciples, Lee Foss and Annabelle England track. Mm. Sounds like deep house. Feel good.
Need to check that.
Yeah.
George?
Boy. That's quite a few. I'm just looking at my Spotify playlist now. I'd probably say there's this track out called Someone to Ease My Mind by Eric Haggleton. I like it because kind of going on what Charles was saying earlier. It's got this kind of deep house, reminiscent vibe, but with sort of new drums. It's really connected with me, like, this week when I downloaded it. So, yeah, I'd probably say that.
Nice. I'm not going to go over a track that's new. It's not old either, but just been playing it whilst in this isolation vibe. Party Next Door, Drake, Loyal, just kind of vibing for me, boy, every time. Every time. We say names.
I'm going to go for LaRue, In For The Kill, Scream Remix. Boom.
That's a classic, though. He tweeted about it the other day.
Do you know, I think that's the tune as well, he didn't actually finish it.
Yeah, I see the interview with it. He's saying he basically sent them out a demo and they released a demo.
Yeah.
Chat in the box. We're doing this.
Hey, what's happening?
Mini Mets has joined in.
So what's your take on the old school garage then, eh?
just kidding. We probably need to end with the follows and all that once we set that all up. Hello. The app. Chat, you know what I mean? Insta and...
Oh, Facebook, yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you know what?
Piloting. This is pilot. This is what happens on pilot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is.
It's free-fall. Free-fall.
Yeah, don't bother following me. I don't want it.
All right, cool. I'm out. Okay.